focusing on divine election, what do the scriptures teach? And we looked at last week, articles 11 through 13, focusing on pastoral concerns. The statement is basically, because God is the one who chooses, we can have certainty. And there is comfort, knowing that that which God has begun, God will complete. How do I know that I am elect? I am one of the elect. And the answer that was given is by self-examination. Do you see in yourself the work of grace? Do you see in yourself the work of the Spirit of God? Is there a hatred of sin? Is there an understanding of how awful it is? And is there a hatred of it and a desire to pursue it? Is there a hunger for God and for God's word? Other elements or evidences? And then thirdly, it also causes us to respond to God's grace or with humility. If God is the one who chooses, it's not because of anything in me. It is because of his love, that is not based on anything in me, but it is love nonetheless. Now we come to Article 14. And so the question is, okay, so it's again, we're talking about pastoral concerns as continued. How is election to be taught? If it's in the scriptures, which is what it's saying in Article 14 and 15, this particular teaching, this doctrine is taught in scripture. And so the statement is, well, if it's in scripture, then it should be taught in the church. We are commanded to preach the whole counsel of God, not pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. Paul says that to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. It's recorded where he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And that includes the counsel from eternity or election. But notice, so the question is, so since it's not to be avoided, it's actually to be promoted or published, how is it to do so? Notice what it says. With reverence, in the spirit of discretion and piety, for the glory of God's most holy name, and for the enlivening and the comforting of his people. And so when we come to this particular doctrine, we do so humbly with reverence. Because again, it is God who chooses. It is God who chooses to pass by, as we're going to look at the doctrine of reprobation. It is the Lord who seeks and saves those that are lost as he so determines. So it is something that we do with reverence. We do this to honor God. The focus is on his glory. We understand that it's also designed to encourage piety or pursuit of God. Because he loves us, because he chose us, we respond with thankful hearts by pursuing him. This doctrine is designed to enliven and comfort us in the time when we're struggling. Am I really saved? When I look at myself and I see how much I fail, am I really a Christian? Well, yeah, because God is the one who chose you. It's not because you were pretty or you were smart or you were desirable in that sense that you he saw your faith and so on, your good works from eternity. He said, no, I love you because I love you. Because I love you. And so that brings comfort to me. I don't know about you, but it comforts me and encourages me to know that God loves me because he loves me. And also, Article 14 says, this is how you're not to teach this. We're not to teach it or respond to the teaching by vainly attempting to investigate the secret ways of the Most High. We're not to do things like determine whether someone is elect before you preach the gospel to them. Now, if you're listening to me, if you understand what I'm saying, is crazy sounding. To me it is. Maybe it isn't to you. But there are some that teach that. You have to actually determine whether they're elect before you can preach the gospel to them. That's not what we believe or teach. No, that's not how you teach. We don't vainly investigate the secret ways of God. So what should be the response to the teaching of election? Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways. They're past finding out. This is Paul's response to the great mystery, if you will, and great revelation of God's divine election. Article 15 focuses on reprobation. It describes it. During this council of the Synod of Dort, the Arminians came against this particular teaching, this truth, and their response was, well, that's not fair. It's not fair that God doesn't save or choose everyone. My response back, and in a sense, what we have in Article 15 response is, well, who deserves to be saved? Do you deserve to be saved? Does anyone deserve to be saved? No. If God was fair, no one would go to heaven. Everyone would go to hell. That's fair. That's just. So the answer is no. God is not fair. He's merciful. He's gracious. He gives to us what we don't deserve. Secondly, they argue, well, God, the Bible says that God is love. And so how can you teach that God chooses to love some but not others? And the answer is because God is also holy and just, and one is not opposed to the other. God loves holiness. God loves justice. God's glory is revealed in his passing by of some. So notice, reprobation is what God decided not to do. Notice the statements in Article 15. The phrases are, has decreed to leave in the common misery into which they have willfully plunged themselves, and not to bestow upon them saving faith and the grace of conversion, but permitting them in his judgment to follow their own ways, at last for the declaration of his justice. So notice that he passed by, he decreed to leave, he chose not to bestow. But positively, what he did decide to do is to exercise his justice. And so we are reminded that God is sovereign and we are not. God is both just and merciful. We are not to try to pit the mercy of God against the justice of God. God is both at the same time. And so we can find comfort, and I think the idea of respect, not treating God as a sugar daddy or a Santa Claus, but as he truly is, just and holy, and yet also the God of love and mercy. Amen. Amen.